Off with our life as worshipers of God. We are to worship God. When we come into the body of Christ, we are to worship God. We are to appreciate God. We are to do what God wants us to do. And of course, what we did this morning was what part of our worship. As we got together, as we took the bread and the wine, we participated in worshiping the Lord. As we sang together, we were worshiping the Lord. And even as we talk together, as we pray together, as we listen to God's message, we are worshiping the Lord. So we find that in the first couple of verses of chapter 12. And then in verse 3, we find that with humility and lowliness in relationship to ourselves, we have to examine ourselves. And then in verse 4 to 13, with our relationship with each other in the church. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I have a relationship with you and you have a relationship with me. And what you do affects me and what I do affects you, believe it or not. Because we're part of the body. It's just like the hand, the feet, the legs, the eyes, the ears. They're all part of the human body. So you are part of the universal body of Christ. And we're going to find out that as we are part of that body, we have the unity. We have the local and the universal, and they're not independent. They're together. And we are individuals, and we're valuable in the sight of the Lord. So the first part of chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it talks about the individual and the local and the universal part of the body of Christ. And then we're going to talk about the gifts that God gives us as part of the body. And why do we have gifts? Why are each of you have different abilities? I can't play the piano. I can't sing. I can't do a lot of things that other people can do. But I can do other things that other people. But together, we are to use our gifts and our abilities for the glory of God. So we are part of the universal. So the first point, our unity locally and universally is dependent on our relationship, our position in Christ. You got it? Notice there in the verses, it's so important that it's in Christ. It's in Him. Now, if you're not in Him, then you're not part of the body of Christ, universally or locally. It's all about Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us and what He's doing for us and what He's going to do for us. So together in Christ. Notice that it's so important because that's one of the main points here, that it's in Christ, in Christ. For as one body, we have many parts and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body, what's it say in the Bible? In Christ. And now if you're listening to this on the internet and you're not in Christ, then you can become a part of that local body here at Park Crest or universally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. We, though many, are one body in Christ. And that's so important. And that's why I personally enjoy the body of Christ. I was at a wedding yesterday. It was wonderful because there were dozens of people in Christ. Dozens of people who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for their sins. And today they are in Christ. And they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. So the universal church, notice what it says in Ephesians. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 23. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's the invisible, spiritual, universal church of all believers, the body of Christ. Every person who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior through all the centuries are in Christ and they are part of the universal church. And that is So important to realize that. But also very important, we think of the local church. But the other meaning is that Paul thinks of each local church as the body of Christ as well. Because you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, he says, now we, he's speaking to the church in Corinth. Now we are the body of Christ. So individually and as a local assembly, we are part of the body of Christ. Now I have a picture up here, you don't see it, but imagine it. It says, we are Anvil. Do you remember that slogan? No? I loved it. It lived. Isn't it nice? Oh, it's not there. Anyway, it says, we are Christ. Then I've got another picture of there, a picture of all of you. All of you. See, there's Mark, you're up there on this. No, you're not. You're all there. Yep. You're all there. We are the church. Each of you here, if you have Lord Jesus Christ in your life, is a part of the church. It doesn't matter your language, your culture, your background. If you are in Christ, you have a personal relationship with one another. Isn't that exciting? As I said, I've traveled all over the world, and I've walked in Africa, in the refugees, in Goma, Zaire, holding hands with the Africans, chewing on a piece of wood, walking down, and that person was my brother in Christ. Different language, different culture, different color, everything different. And yet we had Christ in us because we were in Christ. And I get excited about that. I can remember when our Jessica came. I heard so much about Jessica and her family, members of this local body and members of the Universal Church. I can remember when I heard so much they were coming, so I went to the airport to pick them up. My heart was beating because I was going to meet some French brothers and sisters in Christ. That's exciting. And if you're not excited at something, maybe there's something wrong. I enjoy coming to Parkcrest. I enjoy going to Heather Bible Chapel. I enjoy going to 16th Gospel Chapel. Why? Because they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice what it says in Revelation 7, 9. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from every tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. That's what we've got to look forward to. And we are so privileged here in beautiful British Columbia with all the people coming from all over the world coming to beautiful British Columbia to see our mountains, to see our lakes, to see our rivers, to see our forces. And many of them are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's exciting. And that's what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 12. He's talking about that church that is so important. But you know, there's something better than that. There's something more than that. That is rich in itself. But do you realize that in Christ, we have a lot of privileges. We have a lot of positiveness. Okay, we receive grace in Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. We won't read it now. We don't have time. But we receive grace in Christ. Our redemption is in Christ. We're redeemed in Christ. We are justified in Christ. These are all verses from the scriptures. That's Galatians chapter 2, 17. We are justified in Christ. We're not justified because of good works. We're not justified because we're going to Parkcrest. We're not justified. These were all good things, but we're justified in Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven of our sins in Christ. And these words are straight from the Bible. Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there is no condemnation in Christ. That's exciting. I get excited anyway. We are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Romans 6, 23, we have eternal life in Christ. Are you excited about that? I'm excited. Let me see your face on Zoom there. Are you excited? Oh, no, you don't look very excited. Come on now. In Christ, we can be excited. In Christ, we can have joy, real joy, wonderful joy, as we let Christ come into our lives. God supplies all our needs in Christ. That's what the scripture says in Philippians 4:19. Ephesians verse 1:3, we have every spiritual blessings of heaven in Christ. What else do we have? We have been presented to God perfect in Christ. See, Christ died on the cross for my sins. So when the Lord looked, when God looks down and he sees Ron Edgecombe, he doesn't see Ron Edgecombe. He sees Ron Edgecombe covered in the blood of Christ because Christ died for my sin. So I am made perfect in Christ. I'm not perfect yet. I'm working at it. He's working on me. And we cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ. All of this is our benefits in Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Paul's aim is in talking this way is that we stand in awe of Christ, that we love Christ, that we admire Christ, that we follow Christ, and every joy making much of Christ. We have all of these things, so we've got something to be happy about. Sure, we have problems. We all have problems. I have problems. You have problems. But in Christ, we can overcome those problems. I can do all things through Christ, in Christ, which strengtheneth me. By myself, I'm bon rien. I'm good for nothing. But in Christ, I'm everything. Because he is my salvation. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. 1 Corinthians 3, 21-23 says, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or present or the future, all are yours. And you are in Christ, and Christ is God. You belong to him. You are in him. He's in you. And that's what I preach all over the world, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Christ. He is the all in all. Romans 12:5 is fantastic. Together as a body, as a local body, as the church, the local body, we are redeemed together. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I was going to sing that, but I would hurt your ears, so I won't say, but we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Together. We are justified because of Christ. Together. I had a hard time during the pandemic. I don't know about you. I know it's not over yet. And I know because of health and age and infirmities and so on, we can't still all get together. But I was so happy that first Sunday to walk in to Cascades Gospel Chapel and see my brothers and sisters. Yes, I had a mask on and we couldn't hug, we couldn't kiss, we couldn't hold hands, we couldn't do anything like that. But at least I was in the presence of them. When we went to Argentina in January, it was hard getting down to Argentina. We had paper about 3 inches thick, paperwork. We got there, and I couldn't even drink mate. That's the drink we drink together as a communal drink. I couldn't do that. I couldn't hug them. I couldn't kiss them. But we could wave at each other. Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo está usted, mi querido hermano? ¿Cómo estás? Isn't it wonderful to be together in Christ Jesus? He is so true to us. So that's the first point. Are you with me? The importance of the local church. And when people in Zoom can make it back to church, when things are safer, when things are more regulated, that'll be great. But in the meantime, thank God for Zoom. And thanks God for those in technology that help us be able to get on Zoom. So the second thing is you as an individual are valued in Christ. We've talked about the collective body. We've talked about the local church. You've got it right here in Scripture. Local church. We've talked about the universal church. But how about you as an individual? Are you important to God? Yes, you are part of a collective group of people, men and women, boys and girls, all over the world, universally and locally, you are the church. But how about individually? Is there something here talking? Notice verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one to another. He talks about individually. Notice that word. You are precious and honored in my sight, it says in Isaiah 43:4. God loves you as a person. And if you're part of the body of Christ, we're going to talk about that. But if you're not part of the body of Christ, God loves you too. He sent his son to die for you. So one could argue here, if you're looking at this, when I was first reading and studying and saying, Lord, give me a message, something that we can get our teeth into, something that we can appreciate. You know, I thought, well, Paul's talking about the church, and that individually is left out. But no! Verse 5 talks about the individual. Members one to another, and individually members to one another. So what is Paul trying to get across? Paul is saying that our true individuality is founded, discovered, experienced in our relationship to the body of Christ. Let me repeat that, because I got that from about 5 or 6 different preachers and messages that I listened to. Listen to it. This is so exciting. This is the importance of the local church. And I know some of you can't come. That's okay. But a lot of people say, well, I don't need the church. A lot of people say, Ron, the church is this, that, the other thing. I don't believe in the church. Well, I believe in the church. Because let me repeat that. Paul is saying that our true individuality is founded, discovered, experienced in the relationship to the church. This is so important. The church is so important. That's why we have in Hebrews saying that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And as people say to me, well, I can watch so-and-so on television, a good evangelical, Bible-believing, fundamental preacher. I don't need to go to church. But the church is what God founded. That's why when I was invited to Billy Graham to work full-time with him, I said, no, thank you. I'll do some work with you, but I'm not going to work full-time. That's why when the Gideon said to me, would I join the Gideon? I said, no, I believe in the local church. I believe that what you people are doing here right now, and you people on Zoom, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. A part of Parkcrest Gospel Chapel, or Bible Chapel. Let's carry on, because you know, we are to serve one another in love. Here is an amazing thing. That who I am a part of you. You are a part of me, I'm a part of you. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're my brother or sister in Christ. And I can truthfully say I have brothers and sisters. I had a hard childhood, but that's okay. That's neither here nor there. But the thing is, when I see my brother or brother, sister in Christ, there's something in me that bubbles. And I'm not putting it on. It bubbles. When I see Heather, it bubbles. Something in my heart. You know what it is? I believe it's the Holy Spirit. I honestly believe it's the Holy Spirit. And I love my brothers. Sure, I don't get along with all my brothers and sisters in Christ, but in my family, I don't either. Do you? Are you in perfect relationship with everybody in your family? There's family quarrels, there's family upsets, there's family discussions, but we are family. And we are to help one another, encourage one another, stimulate one another. Sometimes we have to give one another a kick in the pants. I get them quite often because I do a lot and I make a lot of mistakes. And sometimes a brother or sister will say to me, you know, Ron, you shouldn't have got so excited on Sunday about talking about the church because people might misunderstand. Maybe. But isn't it wonderful to see in the scripture here that individually we are important and we are to realize that we might be the hand or the foot or the leg or the ear or the eye in the local church. We are to help. We are to serve one another. We are to love one another in the local church. And the people who say, well, the local church is this, that, and the other thing, sometimes they're right. Sometimes we have trouble in the local church, but we have trouble in the family. So we got to help one another, encourage one another, stimulate one another. It's so important. And that's what I believe that Paul is trying to get across here. So how is your relationship in the local church? Are you exercising? Are you serving? Are you loving in the local church? I hope so. There's so much to be done in the local church. You know, I used to preach at Cascade Gospel Chapel 24 times a year. Last year I preached twice. But you know what I did last Sunday? I cut the grass. Praise God, I cut the grass for Jesus. And I enjoyed doing it. Sure, every part of my body hurt because I've had two hip operations, a heart operation and a knee operation. But I enjoyed cutting the grass for Jesus, helping the body. Even though I can't preach anymore at Cascades because they have a full-time pastor, worker there, I'm not invited to preach, but they're happy that I can cut the grass. Oh, when I took all the benches downstairs from upstairs in the sanctuary and shampooed the rug and brought all the benches back up, with help, of course. See, we are in the Park Crest. We are in the local church to help, to encourage. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's a women's meeting. Maybe it's helping in the music. Maybe it's helping in the alabanza, in the praising, in the worship. There's so many things we can do. Maybe it's yard work. Yeah, I've got a work party pretty soon, brother. Is there a work party? No, not yet, eh? We're having a work party next Saturday at 3 to 5. So if you got nothing to do, come on over. You know why? We're going to pick out dandelions for Jesus. You're going to say, oh, come on, Ron, that's simplistic. Yeah, but we're going to be pulling out all the dandelions for Jesus because we are part of the local church. So that's the second part. The first part is a group, local group, universal group. The second part is the individually. The third, the exercising of our gift is based on God's grace as we abide in Christ, sharing our gifts with fellow believers at Park Crest. Notice that. It's there. Notice that. It talks about that. Are you with me? Here we go. Look at chapter 2. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically, it says. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. We are called to work in the local church. That's what it says right here. If your gift is to encourage others. If your gift is giving, give generously. God has given abilities to each person. Each of us have at least, I believe, one gift, one ability, one talent. And it's not to pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I'm really good at accounting, so I help at Park Crest doing the accounting. No, it's to help. We are to use our gifts. And, you know, I put down here Paul's value individually so highly, he does not fail to tell us that in these verses. And we can only know our position as we work in the local church. I'm glad to see there's a new person down in your sound booth there. God bless you, brother. Keep doing it. Learn more. Practice it. It's so important. And when there's a work party, come and clean up the kitchen, clean up the outside, pick dandelions, wash the windows. There's so much thing. And we only find our true self as we serve in the local church. So our first point is unity locally and universally. It's dependent upon our position in Christ. That's the first point. Second point is the importance of individually. God wants us as individuals to serve in the local church. Now the third part, notice, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Verse 6, notice that. Please notice that. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We have to realize that God has given us these gifts, these abilities, these talents. For instance, je parle français, je parle espagnol, and I speak English. But when I write my messages in French, Spanish, or English, I have to ask my wife to translate my Spanish into real good Spanish, my French into real good French. Because even though I speak it a bit, I don't have the ability, I don't have the talent, I don't have the gift of doing that part of God's work. So she's there, she goes over my message and she says, oh, that's the wrong way to say it. That's it. Are you with me? Are you picking up what I'm dropping? Are you getting what we're trying to get across scripturally here? We must use our gifts. The exercising of our gift is based on God's grace as he gives us that gift in Christ. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, we are in our different, as individually, we have different individual gifts. And our talent is to be used in the local church for the local church. So what are you doing in the local church? What am I doing in the local church? Now, how can we apply all this? 3 points. You got them, I hope. 3 points. How can we apply this? I believe this chapter has to do with something very important. And I'm so happy here at Park Crest. And when I think the history of Park Crest, I remember when you opened up years ago, I was at Cascades and some people at Cascades came over, Mr. Fuller and all of these wonderful people in the years gone by. You know, racial harmony. Now, let me get this right, because this is, you know, we have ethnic differences. We have a racial harmony is so important. Let's look at it. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Okay, I'm going to read that, okay? The Gentiles are fellow heirs, meaning with the Jewish believers, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. When I travel all over the world telling people about Jesus, they say to me, well, that's an American teaching. That's something that you people in North America, it's not for us. No. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all ethnic groups, for all languages, for all members. And that's what I like about here. I can remember when Steve was here, and even still, you serve up at the university with international students. That's what it's all about. What this really means is the unity of the body is from all nations, includes all nations, all races, all ethnic groups. And as we come into union with Christ, we are one in Christ. Sure, we got differences. Different food, different culture. And yet, when we are in Christ, we are one. Now, we were going to sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I don't know how we can do that. I can probably read it off. Can we try to sing it? Do we know it? Can you put it up on the screen, maybe? This is one of my favorite songs, and I'll just read some of it as they get ready. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm part of the family of God.